So today we're going to talk about love. And as I've shared before, I don't think we really understand how to love one another well. I think we struggle with that. The world tells us all these kinds of ways that we're to love one another, and we just don't understand it very well. We tend to be selfish, not selfless with our love. And we think we know what love means, and we think like we believe that we love others in a way that kind of builds them up and edify. But more often than not, our love is tied up with assumptions, and it's tied up with expectations and unrealistic ideas that the world throws our way. You know, I believe John in this letter, in 1 John chapter 4, and Jesus all throughout his scriptures tells us a different way of loving others. So you ready to dive in? All right, here we go. So the first way that I think we can love completely is to accept others as God accepts them, right? To accept others as God's children. When I read the stories of Christ's ministry, sometimes I kind of laugh at myself and think of the people that other people hated in Jesus' day. You know, you think of the tax collector, Matthew. Everyone hated Matthew. I mean, he was a tax collector. You think of the beggars that are on the side of the road, and everybody hated them. And you think about, you know, those who had to walk the streets and yell, unclean, unclean, right? And nobody liked to hang around those people. And it's interesting that we still have people today that we look at as less than, right? We don't feel that is good enough to step foot and be a part of a body of faith. See, Christ brought a whole new way of looking at love, a whole new way of loving others. Christ purposely spent time with people that were hated the most, right? He wanted to show us and to help us understand that God's love means that we are to love everyone. And the scripture, it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says to love each other. And verse 12, it says to love one another. And interestingly, John uses this word to love one another 25 times. It's a really short book, 1 John, really short book. And if you add the word beloved, over 30 times does John use this word to love one another or beloved. I mean, friends, it doesn't only say to love those that are healthy, does it? It doesn't say that we should love only those who live in a 10-mile radius of Ephrata Church of the Brethren. Christ doesn't say, hey, I'm going to love you as long as you meet my needs or my standard that I'm going to set for everybody else in this culture. Christ says, I'm going to love you no matter what. No matter what. God wants to love everyone no matter what. No matter their past, no matter their present, no matter their skin color, no matter their political beliefs, no matter their occupation or where they are at in their faith walk or in their monthly income or their age or how they raise their children, God wants to love you no matter what. God says, I'm going to love you right where you are. He says, I'm going to love you completely without hesitation. Remember, loving people doesn't necessarily mean that we have to accept or even condone sin. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about loving people. It's realizing that all of us fall short of the glory of God, and that all of us are sinners and all of us are broken, but it's our call, our desire to love other people as Christ loved us. So if you want to love completely, you need to learn to love everyone no matter what. The second way we love completely is to love others fully. I think a lot of times we tend to hold back love from other people, or we see in this world ways that love are shared in a totally dysfunctional way. I have to be the first to admit that I watch a little bit too much television. I admit it. I probably watch too much Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or Amazon Prime, you know, all of those things. I watch way too much, right? And from time to time, you kind of look at this, and I see too many times where people on TV are breaking down one another. They're busting on each other. They're speaking bad things into their life rather than good things. You look at a sitcom comedy today, and all the humor is geared either towards sex or it's geared towards tearing somebody down for what they've said or done. And there's no encouraging, it seems like, there's no encouraging or supportive characters in television today. We live in a time in media where we are constantly being bombarded by this negative humor. And it turns out that it affects our lives in very real and distinct ways. If you pay attention, it's really amazing to see how people will tear down another person just so they feel better about themselves. If you want to learn to love them, you need to learn and support and encourage those around you. If you want to completely love, then you have to love as God loves. We see, we need people that are encouraging to us. Who here doesn't need an encouraging word? Not like not one hand went up, right? Some people thought, I do need an encouraging word and raise their hand, but they really didn't mean to, right? So we all need an encouraging word. We all need a supportive word, and we need people to come alongside of us in those really difficult moments in life to walk alongside and encourage us, and we can't do this life alone, and if we try to do it alone, we're going to falter and we're going to fail, and we always need somebody to walk with us, to hold on to us, to grab a hold of us. We need the Lord to help us, and friends, we need fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and family and friends to gather around us and encourage us through life's challenges, through life's highs and lows. And this means that we have to be different than the world. We can't be selfless with our love or selfish with our love. We need to be selfless with that love. It means we have to be different than the world. We have to be willing to not laugh at negative comments and be willing to lift up those who the world won't lift up. We need to be willing to be supportive even when people don't think they need it. And that's difficult, isn't it? I don't know about you. I'm not a mind reader. I really failed at that. I failed in seminary at the mind reading course. It was really bad. But when I look at this congregation, I'm kind of glancing around the room as I'm preaching. When I look at the congregation, I know that there are a lot of people in here who need to be encouraged and supported. You know, if you just look at Facebook posts and see how much we struggle on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes you don't share what you need with me and or anyone else, and you just kind of have this need, but you don't let it out. You don't tell people that you need something. You need that pick-me-up. You need that encouraging word. And I want to tell you, Paul, the writer of many books in the New Testament, he gives some extremely encouraging words. I just want you to listen to this. It's from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 8. Just listen to this. It says, "First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world." What an awesome beginning to the letter of Romans, right? I mean, wouldn't that be great if this church's faith was known all over the world? I mean, Paul was saying, this is awesome. You guys are doing amazing stuff. I mean, every place around the world knows of your faith. He goes on to say, "This God whom I serve in my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son, it is my witness how I constantly remember you in all of my prayer times." Wow, Paul's just laying it on thick. He's saying, "I love you guys. I'm praying for you. I've heard all about what you're doing, and you guys are doing marvelous stuff." He says, "I long to see you so that I may impart on you some spiritual gift to make you strong, and that is that you and I may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith." It's this idea that we're in this together, that we're walking together. It's that sense that you have somebody walking alongside of you and encouraging you. And he says this, he was a supporter. He lifted up fellow believers. And even while he was in chains in prison, he was writing letters to those around the world, speaking truth and hope and encouragement in their life. And he was saying how awesome they were doing, and that sense of encouragement and uplifting spirit that he had. He sets this example for us that we should be for one another. Now, did Paul always open up his letters with encouragement? No. Look at Galatians one time. Paul's gift was to challenge believers to be different than the world. He helped them to be accountable. He showed support and encouragement to someone. And when we show support and encouragement to someone, it always doesn't mean that we give them this big pat on the back and say, "You're doing great." Sometimes showing encouragement and support to somebody means wrapping your arms around them and say, "Listen, man, you're screwing up, but I'm going to be right here to walk you through it." It's about walking with one another. It's about not letting people go. It's about wrapping your arms around them and saying that you are not alone. That's what it means to support and encourage somebody else. The tough thing is that Jesus' love doesn't do that. It just doesn't let us go. It grabs a hold of us. It's not just doing what it takes to get by. And showing your support to someone means that we need to approach believers when they're doing something wrong or something in their life is just off. Supporting means that we need to encourage them to live the lives that God has called them to and holding them accountable when they're kind of veering off the path. And that's tough to do. We don't like to do that. We don't like to cause that kind of tension, do we? Now, although there's no kind of final way to love completely, I probably could be here for about 4 hours telling you how to love completely. I do have a third way. We love others completely when you give above what is expected or necessary. We love others completely when we give above what is expected or necessary. Anybody can offer love to just about anybody when they know that they won't really have to do more than what is expected or necessary, but they receive a ton in return. I mean, we all would love to do that, right? You know, you give a little bit of love, but then you get a whole bunch in return. Of course, we'd give that little bit of love every single time, wouldn't we? Anybody can offer that kind of love. It would be easy to love under those circumstances, wouldn't it? But that's not how Jesus loved. Jesus gave everything to us. He went to the cross for us. He died on the cross for us. He loved us so much that he did all of that for us. And as disciples of Christ, we should always be willing and ready and excited to serve others out of joy and respect and a sacrificial spirit that demonstrates God's love in us above and beyond what is necessary or expected. And friends, I have to be candid. It doesn't matter who you are in this room. How many of you have ever failed at loving somebody else? Yeah, I mean, that's like most of the people in this room, right? I mean, we've all failed at some level at loving another person. And I know sometimes, and this is going to sound a little sappy today, and I'm not saying that we all have to hold hands and sing Kumbaya here this morning, okay? That's not what I'm trying to say here. What I am saying is that God called us to lay down our lives for one another, that God calls us to love one another as he loved us. That's what I'm telling us this morning. That's what I believe John is telling us this morning. We are to love the people that we think are lowly, the outcast, the sinner. We are called to love people who cut us off on the highway. I almost literally died on Friday night coming home. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding you. I called Jen. I was scared. I was nervous. Like, I got to love that person too, right? It was hard at the moment, but you got to love this person too. You need to love those people who will talk about you behind your back. We're called to love those who will laugh at us because we're not willing to participate in the things of this world like they want us to. We need to be willing to love those who are just angry and they just want to take it out on somebody and they think you're the safe place. We're to love those who are gossipers and those who are always trying to find something wrong with anything. I mean, don't you know those people in your life? Friends, we're called to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves, right? I mean, we are called to love. Now, when I say the word love, I mean, some of you know kind of my history and my background. It's a tough word for me to say. I struggle with that word. But I just want to name something this morning. I love this church, and I love you all. And I know that the staff, we love you all so very much. And I want to share that the leadership team, we love you so very much. And there are probably times where we have failed at sharing that love with you. And there are probably people in this room who either I or other staff have not fully connected with this. And I just want to say I'm sorry for that. And I want to say that we're going to get better at that. There have been people that we have missed who have come through these doors and have worshiped this and have now moved on because, friends, we didn't do a great job at engaging them and loving on them the best we should. And if one of these concepts are you this morning, if you're kind of here feeling disconnected, if you're kind of worried about where you are or how you fit in, I just want to say I'm sorry about that. And just know that you are loved and you are appreciated and that there's not a day that goes by that we are not praying for you and we are not lifting you up. And this is kind of where my mind reading abilities falter and fail. If this is you, please come and tell us this because we can't read your mind. Can you read mine? Kim? No? I don't think any of us can read minds. And so if you are struggling right now of being connected, if you are feeling as though you're lost in the wave, I encourage you just to come and talk to me because we want to love on you and encourage you and support you in a way that will bolster up your faith and encourage you to walk in a way that Christ calls you to do. We're going to make time for you and your family because we care about you and we want to encourage and love on you. Every day you are being prayed for. And friends, if you're feeling as though no one cares, I'm just going to hear it's not true. You are loved. And if you look around this room, there are so many people in this room that just want to love on you and encourage you like God has loved on us and encouraged us. And so I have a few things that I want us to work on this year. So get out a piece of paper or your phones or a pencil or a pen right on the back of your hand. I have some things I want to encourage us to do this year to encourage our life together. I believe this year is one of preparation for us. The last 3 years, we have spent a lot of time working at our structure of our church to get the foundation. This year, we're going to really be focused on one another and how we encourage and support and lift up one another. And I believe that God's going to pour out a vision on us throughout the year. And I believe that vision is going to only happen because of God. And I believe we have some work to do to strengthen our community, our faith community, to bring a sense of unity stronger within us and to equip us to serve and to be the selfless givers that we are called to be in the kingdom of God, not only here in this church, but in the community of Ephrata and all of the surrounding communities. So we're under construction, literally and spiritually this year. So in terms of love, here's some things I want us to encourage to do. Do something extravagant for someone else in the church at least once a month. Okay? Someone else in this body of faith, at least once a month, do something extravagant. Now, as soon as I hear extravagant, the one thing I think of is cha-ching, cha-ching, money, money, money. That's not it at all, okay? We're going to get to that in a second, okay? But do something extravagant for somebody. Last week, Ryan mentioned this gift that was given to the church, and after I had a conversation with that family, and they released me to share some of the details because I think it's really important for us to know. We received a gift 2 weeks ago for $75,000 for our building fund. That's an amazing gift, isn't it? God is good. God is real good. And amen. That's amen. Now, that's great. That's a game changer, right? That's really amazing. But let's take that amount of money and let's just stick it aside for a moment, okay? That's awesome. Let's just put it aside. But see, this couple doesn't even attend our church anymore. That's big. And they haven't for a long time, but they've seen love pour out of this congregation. See, they've heard of your love not only in this body of faith, but more importantly in Ephrata and the surrounding communities. They have seen how you have loved on those who have needed coats and backpacks and a cup of cold water, food needs through the crop walk. They've seen you build houses in Peru, have self-sufficient food resources in Guatemala and water purification systems in the Dominican Republic. They've seen how we are acting out of love to the schools right down the hill through the Bible Release Program and then how we help give a cup of coffee once a month to those teachers down there who so desperately need it, right? And they see how God is moving in our midst and how they know that God won't stop what he's doing here and that we're trying to remove all the barriers that we have. And I just want to share, I believe, friends, that God is calling us in the next couple of years to meet the basic needs of children and youth in our area. And that's going to happen mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We're going to go all out in the next couple of years. And see, they see what God is doing here in the midst of this body of faith, and they are excited, and they see all of that in you. And they see how Jesus is moving in and through this congregation, and they love that. They love you, and they have a heart for Jesus, and they have a heart for you. And so Pastor Saul was the one who gave this gift in his family. They gave out of their hearts extravagantly because they love Jesus. And they love you, and they want God's mission and vision to be a reality from Denver to Lititz, from New Holland to Lebanon, and anywhere in between. They want to see that vision become a reality. They are passionate about what we are doing here, and they don't even attend. Now, we're to love others too. To love our body of faith in such a way that is extravagant. And that doesn't mean, you know, with money necessarily. It means taking some kids off of a burdened family to go out to the park and hang out some so that the parents can just chill and take a deep breath. It means going to a sporting event. It means showing them how much you love them. But once a month, think of something that you can do for another person in this congregation that will show them that you love them extravagantly. Just find a need and meet it extravagantly. Love on them, encourage them. See, oftentimes we say that we should love others as they love us. No, that's not it. We should love others as God has loved us, amen? So put a smile on your face, do it with joy, but love them extravagantly. Number two, pray for others here. Okay, now this is gonna get, when we say, I'm gonna pray for you, that's some of the most hollow words that we can say sometimes. Because we kind of say it as in like, I'm gonna pray for you or I'll pray for you, but then there's like no follow-up with that. I'm gonna encourage each of us, at least, why not, once a month at least, to send one text to a person in this church with a prayer on it, or a card, or an email. Write out the prayer and send it to them. If you say you're gonna pray for me, write it out and send it off to me once a month, at least once a month. Just pray for one another, okay? Yes, we're going to pray for those outside of this church and stuff like that, but again, this is about building unity and community and strength in this congregation. So why don't you pray for one another and actually send it to them once a month? Number three, give someone a hug, listen to their story, take some time to be alongside of others outside of your demographic. Oh, and I'm going to get personal here, right? Mike and Elizabeth, I want you to go hang out with Jeff and Lori sometime. Jeff and Lori Zimmerman, where are they? They're back over there. They're way back there, okay? Just do it. Find it. Go out to dinner with them, okay? I don't care, okay? Jill and Troy, Dwayne and Priscilla, man, take them some food or something. I mean, you're welcome, Dwayne and Priscilla. Take them some food, right? I mean, Ashley and Craig, go hang out with Keith and Dawn sometime. You know, go play some board games over at the house. I don't care. Just do something with somebody else, right? Hug on them. Love them. Wrap your arms around them. Listen to their story. Get to know them a little bit more. Find opportunities to just love on them. Get outside of this demo. We all like these cliques, right? We have our own little group of people, and we like to hang out there, and that's okay. But I want you to break apart, okay? Get a little uncomfortable, right? Get outside of your box and maybe meet with somebody that you've never met with before and just spend some time with them and love on them and encourage them. Number four, love on others by serving them. Friends, do you know we have an awesome and amazing kids ministry here? And a great student ministry. I hope Michelle's here. Is she in here? Yeah, she's over there. I'll pick on her. Do you know that Michelle and Ryan spend hours each week prepping for children and students in ministry? Do you know we have great volunteers and staff who support them and encourage them during this time? Do you know that they are always in need of help? As our student ministry and our kids ministry continues to grow, they are always in need of help. Friends, there are many in this room who are strong disciples who can go in there and teach and equip and lead and guide these little disciples. You can do that. You can love on them, encourage them, support them, teach them. Not only with our kid men or our student ministry, but the children's center too. I didn't ask Sarah about this, but I'm sure that if there was some opportunities to go in and love on those kids, that she would find those opportunities to do that. You all are mature disciples. Get out there and do something. Encourage those littles who need that help. And I'll always remember Kathy Zeem. She was a older lady at my church, at Friendship Church of the Brethren in Baltimore. I will always remember her. When I was a youth, she was probably, 900 years old or so. And she would step up, and every single time there was a need for the youth, she would step up and teach Sunday school. She would step up and lead youth group meetings. She was absolutely amazing. If it wasn't for her, I mean, I don't know where I would be right now. She was the one who came to my side so many times because she was a mature disciple, and she decided that she didn't need all the education she needed herself. She can do that on her own, but she wanted to love on somebody like me. So what would it look like if we canceled all of the adult Sunday school classes and just encouraged them all to go love on the kids and students of our church every week? I believe they would probably receive more than they probably would give. Talk about legacy. Talk about showing the next generation the love of Jesus. Serve someplace, any place. I don't care where it is. Just get out of the boat and love on someone through an act of service. And these are just practical ways to love. And I just wanted to share those with you as they were on my heart. I know many of you in this room know God, and you know God's love for you. And however, I want to close this time with a time of prayer. For those people in this room who might not know God's love through Jesus, that have or maybe have even put on a mask of portraying that they know Jesus and they love him. I want us to pray for people in our midst and those outside of our church who don't know Jesus and his love for us. I want us to pray for one another that we will learn how to love more fully. I want us to pray that other churches in this area, not just ECOB, but all churches in this area, succeed in their mission to bring one more person to the saving knowledge of Jesus. This is not about ECOB, friends. This is about the kingdom work. I want us to pray for people that they will come to know the love of God through the sacrifice of his son Jesus. Friends, and if you're here today and you realize that you don't have this love relationship with Jesus, if you feel God moving inside you now, I want you to pray for this as we kind of enter into this time. The prayer that God comes into your life, that he fills you with the love that I know that I feel when I speak about his glory and his honor and his praise. If those of you in this room and you know God and you love God, I pray that you get convicted today to do something above and beyond, to support anything in this church, to support his mission and his call for us to reach out and to be the hands and feet in this community. You know, whether it's through our local missions or whether it's through global missions or whether it's through serving kidmen or youth ministry or supporting our older adult ministry, just get involved, get connected some way, and just shower love upon each person that you meet. So let's go to God in prayer right now. Let's lift up our hearts as we give him our hearts and our minds and our lives, loving him first. God, we thank you so much for this morning and for this time together. God, what an appropriate way to start a new year by reminding us that the first priority that you have given to us is to love. I mean, Jesus broke down all 600 plus commandments when he said, love God with your heart and your soul and your mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so God, to Jesus, the most important thing is love. It's not anything else. It's not doctrine. It's not theological discussions. It is love. And so how appropriate it is this morning on the first day of year to remind us that we are to just love. God, open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts, our very spirits, to those not only in this room and in our faith community, but those in our communities around Ephrata and Ephrata itself. May we have a heart for all of the people that we come in contact with, that we love them so much that they recognize, God, the love that you have in us. God, I pray that as we move forward this year, as we kind of shift from kind of working at the stability of our structure to what it means to be a body of faith and live in unity and to grow together and to encourage one another and to support one another better than we've ever done before, God. And God, may we have a sense of holy boldness in us that we focus on just how we can lift up your name and lift up one another rather than feeling as though we need to tear one another down. We need to kind of find our own thing. God, may our hearts be filled with your love and your grace and your purpose and your peace this year. And may we find opportunities while we're under construction, our heart is under construction, our soul is under construction, to grab a hold of that strong footer that's found in Jesus and allow us to be tied into that footer in such a way that never shakes us when the winds blow. And that as we are placed brick by brick together as the body of Christ, that cornerstone, that firm foundation of Christ is just evident in our lives. And so, God, we pray that we love better this year, that we surrender to you more this year, that we claim victory in you this year. For God, we pray this and we proclaim it and we name it in the name of the one who gives us life in abundance, Jesus the Christ. All God's people said,